bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Always disappointing when they don't pick up right away, especially when you had just been texting them. Well, thankfully I got a phone call back shortly thereafter.
It's ringing.
Mine.
My phone's a vo-vo-phone. My phone's a vo-vo-phone.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea of what you want to talk about, or you have no idea?
No idea.
That's typically how most of the conversations start. Whether it's when I'm first talking to the guests and getting ready to record, or when I'm talking to them trying to get them to come onto the podcast. Thankfully, we were able to talk through some stuff, get some things to talk about, and we went ahead and hit record. I have Christina as my guest this week. Christina, welcome to the Trent Speaks podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Anyone is always welcome. So anytime. You're always welcome back, even though we haven't even spoken yet. You're still welcome back right away. I met Christina actually when I started working on the Disney College program down in Orlando, Florida. I met her through the college program, actually. So, Christina, I figured we could kind of start there, kind of starting with Disney and how did that come about for you, and kind of talk to us about where that's taken you and where that's led you to.
Yeah, definitely. So I began my Disney College program in August of 2012. So it's about a year after I graduated high school, and I was enrolled in community college at the time, and I really just didn't want to live with my parents anymore and didn't want to live in my hometown. And so I applied for the Disney College program, and I got in. My first role was at Pizza Planet at Hollywood Studios, which is no longer. Then I got a really great opportunity to get deployed, which sometimes they change your location throughout your program depending on business need. So I went over and assisted with the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, which is super fun. I learned a lot, learned that I don't really see myself in a food and beverage career, but I definitely learned a lot. And then I went back home for a little bit and realized I don't want to be home still. So I did another college program. I worked at Expedition Everest over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And then I went back home one last time. And then I came back to Disney for a third college program working at Disney's Coronado Springs. And that's where I met you, Trent. And that's where I stayed. I stayed there ever since. And that was in 2014.
How did you find out about the Disney College program? I know you said you kind of just applied for it one day. Were you just kind of browsing the web and you came across it? Or how did you hear about it?
So it's actually kind of a funny story. So I was a part of a Bible study, and there was this guy that I was interested in. And he was talking about the Disney College program and how he was leaving. And my thought process was like, oh, I love Disney. I like this guy. So how perfect. I'm going to go to the Disney College program and then we'll get married. Obviously that last part didn't happen, but, if I hadn't, you know, talked to him a little bit more about the program, I probably wouldn't have done it. So, that's kind of where that sparked my interest was, Disney and Big Boy.
And so wait, did you live in Florida or did you have to make a move to Florida?
So I moved. So I'm originally from Chicago. So the first two programs I flew down, I did not drive my car, but the third and final program, which led me to moving here permanently in Florida, I did take my car, from Chicago to Florida.
And was that an easy transition for you? Because not only are you moving hours upon hours away from home, but also temperature and weather, like there's a lot of different things to take into account because you're also moving to a place that you know nothing about and you don't really know a whole lot of people, correct? What was that transition like?
Yeah. You know, it was a lot easier of a transition than I thought. I'm a very independent person and kind of grew up that way. So, you know, leaving my family and stuff, it was kind of an easier decision. So not a whole big of a transition there. The heat is definitely intense. The humidity is unreal. But, you know, you kind of just get used to it. I think in Illinois, humidity is just as bad during summer, so it's not too much of a difference. But I think maybe the weather and just the driving here in Florida is a little crazy. Just kind of getting used to just different areas. And I think maybe might have been the most transitional thing I did, but it was a pretty easy transition for the most part.
It's always interesting. I kind of wish that these were video calls sometimes because, you know, I just snickered when you talked about driving. Having lived in both Florida and Illinois, I think they both suck at driving. But which state do you feel is the worst in driving?
I think Florida, just because you've got, you know, international people coming in who, you know, drive very differently than we do here. And you also got people who maybe aren't comfortable with the area, and so they're using a GPS while trying to drive at the same time. Illinois, you just have people that are just trying to get home and quickly. So they'll ride your tail and stuff like that a little bit more. And there's a lot more, like, normal rush hour traffic. But I think here in Florida, you get rush hour traffic the entire day, especially if it's during, like, spring break or summer where we're constantly seeing guests come in, not necessarily right at this moment, but normally we see a lot of guests flying in. And so you get a lot of confused drivers, which can be very dangerous.
Yeah. What impact has all of this coronavirus stuff had in terms of your work and the way that you've seen life change down there? Because, you know, you just kind of mentioned it. A lot of people obviously aren't flying and there's not a lot of tourism, which is what the Orlando area is very much built off upon. But how have you seen that both impact you and your work and then just kind of the life around you?
Yeah, it's been a little weird. A couple days ago, they announced that, or Walt Disney Company announced that they will be furloughing most of their cast members. I'm not quite sure exactly what that means for me quite yet, but I am just expecting to also be furloughed. It's you're essential. You don't get furloughed, but they're kind of determining what is essential. So it's definitely hard to hear when you hear a theme park such as Walt Disney World closing. You know, Disney's known for not closing really under many circumstances, and it definitely is kind of scary.
Uh-oh, I lost you. Did you mute yourself? My mom does that.
Hello?
Hello?
Me?
Now I can hear you.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
At my house.
That's all right.
But what was the last thing you heard?
About Disney closing for a prolonged period of time, which I was going to say, yeah, I mean, for them to close for even a day is sometimes big news because of a weather event or something, but for them to close as long as they have, it's pretty... I mean, it already is unprecedented in the time that we're living in, but even that in and of itself, I feel like is so unprecedented for them to be closed as long as they are.
Yeah, and I think it's put a strain on a lot of people. I mean, you know, one minute you think you have job security and the next minute you don't. And while, you know, I think we in this community and even, you know, I think millennials and people in just this time, day and age, you know, are used to kind of go, and always having to be at the next place, or calendars being full of stuff, not really taking time for ourselves or our families, spouses. And so I think while it's hard to not be at work and not be at Disney, and or for other people not planning vacations to go to Disney, I think it's a good time where we're able to kind of reflect on ourselves and where we're at and where our heart's at, you know, and with our families and things like that. So while it's all been very weird and uncertain, you know, trying to be grateful for the time that we have been given, because this doesn't, we don't get this time a lot.
And you mentioned earlier, kind of switching gears a little bit, you mentioned earlier your faith and everything. Talk to me more about that. I know we talked a little bit about before we hit record here and everything. Has that always been a big part of your life, or was there a turning point for you that really made that a larger part of your life than it used to be?
So I grew up in the Lutheran faith. I've been very blessed to have a very faith-driven family. There have definitely been times where my faith has been stronger than others. I think right after I graduated high school, I kind of veered away from God, and not that I never stopped believing in Him or anything like that. It's just my faith wasn't as strong. But I would say when I was younger and now are probably the strongest my faith has been. I think that just comes with, you know, learning more about yourself. And, you know, as an adult, you have to kind of pursue faith, and, you know, parents not gonna tell you what to do. So I think taking the time for myself to be closer with God and, you know, praying and setting aside time for Sabbath has really helped me grow in my faith.
And you've gotten very involved in the church that you attend down there, correct?
Yeah, I have. It's called Mosaic at WDW. There's two different campuses, but the one campus I mainly go to gears towards cast members at Walt Disney World, and also team members. Yeah, it's really great. We have an area that's specific for our college program participants called Crew that's affiliated with Mosaic at WDW. So it's a really great spot for cast members to get connected with other Christ followers, which is really awesome.
And obviously, this next thing is going to be able to tell you very much that I like to just kind of jump around, and I told you earlier, I kind of make things up as I go and on the fly. You talked a little bit earlier about, well, not here, but before we started recording, we talked kind of about singing. And I know that you have posted videos before. You and I are Instagram, I guess, is it friends or just followers? I don't know what the kids are calling it now. But that you've posted videos on there before of you singing. What got you into singing? You know, like, I only sing in the car or in the shower typically, or when I'm drinking at a bar and singing karaoke. But that's, I've seen you sing more than just those three times that I listened that I do for myself.
So I have been into singing and acting and performing since I was very small. I, as a kid, grew up watching old musicals, Beaches, which is stars Bette Midler, and Barbara Hershey is the big musical movie, and My Fair Lady, Sound of Music. I was always around music. My aunt was the head of her worship team at our church growing up, and so music had always been kind of a part of my life since I was very little. So it's always just kind of been there. I did try to pursue it prior to coming to Disney, but I decided to pursue hospitality instead. But music has been a part of my life, whether it's singing in choir or performing in community theater. I did participate in the Candlelight Processional at Epcot. So I have done singing throughout my time here at Disney. But it's something that's a big part of my life and a good coping mechanism for me for stress. So it's definitely something I do every day.
Speaking about a big part of your life, what is it that you would say, maybe it's one thing, maybe it's a few things, that you would attribute to where you are today? Like, what's gotten you to where you are today?
God, number one, for sure. I don't think I would be where I am right now if it wasn't for him. I've gone through many bumps in the road, times where, you know, I didn't budget money or spend money correctly, because most early 20s do not. So, you know, I went through a period where I worked at Universal Orlando for a little while and learned a lot there. And, you know, I think part of that helped to get to me where I am now. I work with our guest services team at Disney, and it's been my dream job for a long time. So I don't think I would have gotten there if it wasn't for God or for me taking a little bit of a detour at Universal for 3 years to get me to where I am now.
Have you had a favorite Disney role? I know you said you're loving this guest services job. Have you had a favorite Disney role, or have they all kind of been their own unique role that they've all been a favorite in some sort of way?
I think for sure this role would be my favorite of the ones I've done. But definitely I think maybe my funnest role would have been Space Mountain. I worked there for a minute. That was a lot of fun. I love working coasters, just the mechanics and engineering behind it, and also like learning about Imagineering and how they created these attractions is really great, and just working them, you learn a lot. I learned that I am not allowed to reset the attraction because I will get lost. but it was a great opportunity for sure.
And to let people in on a little secret, maybe it's a secret, maybe it's not. One of the big things that cast members do at Disney, as I'm backing away from the microphone on accident, one of the big things cast members do at Disney is try to create magical moments and to really, you know, uplift people and make them happy and do great things for them, go out of their way to do great things. I guess, has there been a particular magical moment that you've initiated or been a part of that's really kind of stuck with you or that you remember?
Yeah, so it actually was kind of recently. So we had a guest that had brought in her friend's Porg. The Porg is the bird thing from Star Wars. And it was a little tiny Porg that was on your shoulder, and she happened to accidentally lose her friend's Porg. So she emailed in asking us if we had seen a Porg, which we haven't. So what we did was we went out and got a new Porg, but it was a Porg that was substantially larger in size and talked, which the other Porg did not do. what we did was we took pictures of the Porg around the theme park, making sure that the Porg had a great time while having a little mini vacation at Walt Disney World. And then we wrote a letter saying that the Porg had gotten so much bigger because he ate quite a bit of Dole Whip. So we sent that to the guest, and the guest loved it. And I ended up getting a really great guest survey from that. And, you know, that's never why we do any of those things, but just to kind of create magic outside of Disney is super fun, because, you know, you're going to have a magical time while you're with us, but it's even better when we can, you know, continue that magic while you're home. So I think that was my favorite moment that I can think of that was pretty recent.
That is cool. You know, you kind of talking about that made me think of another question here. Is there something that you feel like you've really benefited from a certain experience, or is there something that you really feel like you're glad you were able to do that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do had you not taken advantage of the opportunity to work for Disney for as long as you have? So, for example, earlier you talked about the Candlelight Processional. Is there, whether it's that one or another opportunity that has stuck out to you of like, wow, I never would have had this opportunity had I not made these connections or worked for this company or X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I think Yeah. A part of the Candlelight Processional one year, the executive team at Walt Disney World does a retreat every year. And what it used to be located at what's now for the first time in forever, for sing along stage at Hollywood Studios, it used to be the American Idol Experience. And so, I got to sing with a former executive, Tom Staggs. It's a Small World, in front of Bob Iger and Meg Crofton. They chose people from the Candlelight Processional that year and to sing with the executives. I did not know it was going to be It's a Small World, why they would want to hear that song. I don't know. But I still have the sheet music. Tom Staggs was a really nice guy. And the executive for the Disney Cruise Line at the time did a version of Festival of the Lion King. Which is a show at Animal Kingdom. And so it was definitely a really great experience. I got to see a lot of executives that I normally wouldn't see, because I think at the time I was working at Everest. So I didn't get a whole lot of exposure with executives or anyone that was in my management. So it was definitely a cool experience. And the first and last time I ever got to perform on the American Idol stage.
That is a cool experience. I guess you mentioned some big names there, Tom Stagg and Bob Iger. Have you seen or interacted with any other celebrities while you've been down there?
I have. I did meet Drew Brees and his family when he was visiting Everest a few years ago. I interviewed with Nick Cannon, which was pretty cool for one of the Christmas parade tapings. One year. Let's see what else. I see Josh Damaro, who's the president of the Walt Disney Company right now, and I see him daily usually at work, and he's such a wonderful, he's great. He's so happy, and he definitely has cast members' hearts on his heart. So he definitely does what's best for us, and that's really great to have an advocate for cast members. But I'm sure I've seen celebrities here and there. It's kind of a normal thing when you're at Disney. So I'm trying to
it just happens.
Think of any of them. They just happen. And you try to, when you're working, you kind of have to keep your composure because you don't want to get fired. But most of the time, celebrities just look normal and don't look like celebrities when you see them. So. But they're definitely around for sure.
What would you say is something that most people don't know about you that you would want people to know?
I really like dancing. I wish I would have taken dance in school, but, I think one way to kind of de-stress myself is dancing or learning dancing routines. I've gotten really into the TikTok dances. so I've been learning those, and those have been super fun. They're super hard, but it's a fun way to kind of work out and also just kind of relieve stress. So I think maybe that. I'm a pretty open book, though, so I'm pretty open with things about me.
Well, and you just talked about working out. See, this is what happens on the podcast. I just latch on to something that you say, and then I continue asking you questions and talking about it. You just mentioned working out, and I know for a while, maybe you still are, I don't know, you were on this weight loss kick. One, what inspired you to do that? Two, are you still going with it? And three, how did you feel or how do you feel going through all of it?
So I've definitely gone through the motions of starting keto, starting Whole30 or any kind of known diet or elimination diet, and, had a super strong first couple of days and then not so great the next few days. So I think for myself, just wanting to be healthier and try not to have as many processed food items and just kind of watching what I'm eating. You know, getting closer to 30, you got to start watching out for stuff like that because your body doesn't handle it the same way as it did when you were 20. I'm not currently doing keto or Whole30, but I am just kind of balancing my diet, making sure I'm being active. But you know, not eliminating fruits. You know, if I really want to have a bowl of ice cream, I'm gonna have a bowl of ice cream. Obviously not something to do every day, but you know, I think people when they do these elimination diets, they tend to get a very negative view on food, and you shouldn't really have a negative view on food. It's definitely, food is there to provide nutrients and make sure you don't die. but you never want to create a negative mind space for it. That leads to eating disorders and things like that. And so just keeping a balanced diet, making sure that you get those vegetables in and you get those fruits in and all those, basically following the food pyramid is just super important. That's just going to keep your mind balanced, your body balanced, just make you feel overall just much better. That's kind of inspired me, just, you know, getting myself good habits now to when I'm older, you know, hopefully won't have as many health concerns later on.
You mentioned really needing to keep a positive mindset about everything. How have you kept a positive mindset, and what advice would you have to others to keep that positive mindset and to stay out of the negative?
It's very hard. Days I don't always succeed, but I think just trusting that, you know, God has a plan. He's got us. It's definitely gotten me through. Reading scripture definitely helped. But also just kind of staying active. I go outside. If I'm starting to think negatively, try to, I mean, exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. So, you know, whenever I do feel kind of stressed out or start to, you know, worry, I go work out or go take a walk or listen to music. Also, a routine is super important. But I think, you know, I have a therapist that I, you know, meet weekly. And I think that's been super important. I'm a big advocate for therapy. I think everyone should go through it. It's nice to have someone there that can kind of walk you through the hard times in life, especially now because this is a little nuts right now. So, my therapist has definitely been super helpful in helping me remain positive and find ways to keep me on that positive mindset.
Yeah, and you know, one of my friends, he just shared, you know, you talked a lot about like getting out and exercising, especially right now with everything. He shared something on Instagram earlier from another page called Stay the Course, and they had talked about how there's been a lot of negative consequences lately. Divorce, domestic abuse, suicide rates, everything's been increasing because people aren't taking time for that mental headspace, as they called it. And so, like you were just saying, trying to get out, get some fresh air, talk to a family member, maybe watch a movie, really just trying to find your escape or to find what's going to work best for you, just to kind of take time for yourself, because I mean, you said it right now, we're all locked in our houses, and this is kind of the reality we're living in for the time being. So, Christina, two last questions for you. Number one, did Carol Baskin kill her husband?
100%. There's no way that she didn't kill her husband.
And as a secondary, this is not count as question two, but just as a follow-up to that question, did Joe Exotic have this murder-for-hire plot, or was he set up?
You're asking, did he?
Yeah, was Joe Exotic set up, or did he actually try to hire someone to kill Carol Baskin?
I don't know. I don't think I thought about that much. I think I've been more concerned with Carol Beth killing her husband, but I think both situations are plausible. I also don't think he's that smart to have been able to carry out a hire for kill plan. But I don't know. That show is a whole bunch of messed up, and anything goes. I'm looking forward to season two for sure.
Well, they talked about, and who knows by the time this gets released if it would have come out or not, but they've talked about releasing one more episode right now within the coming days that will air on Netflix for Tiger King. So we'll see if that comes out or not. And I'm going to keep asking my podcast guests these questions because I'm curious to know what everyone else thinks, though we all know she killed her husband. My last question that I have, I always wrap up with this question. Whether it's something you've talked about within the last half hour here, or maybe it's something you haven't talked about, but what is it that you want to leave people with on this podcast? What is it that you want them to take away from this podcast or from your story?
I think, with the world the way that it is right now, it's important to just keep hanging on. It's so easy to let your mind drift to worst case scenarios or get scared. But I think my biggest takeaway that I would want people to have is just hang in there, keep positive, try to keep a routine in. We're all in this together. And if, you are feeling down or need to reach out to someone, please reach out to them. We're all in this weird time of life right now. And, we and y'all stick together, and that's, by staying inside and practice the social distancing and, try to stay as upbeat and positive as possible, and so we can continue life hopefully soon.
Well said. Well said. Christina, thanks for coming on the podcast. It was a pleasure, as always, chit-chatting with you, especially today. Again, thank you for being on the podcast. This podcast is not possible without people like you who share their story and come on the podcast. So thank you. To kind of make each person's podcast their own, I was doing this for the last few podcasts, but I've been off so long that I don't even know how to talk anymore. I'm going to let you do your own sign off. So you can say whatever the heck you want to say, but go ahead and sign us off of this podcast.
All right. Well, my name is Christina, and please stay home.
Is that it? Just stay home?
Just stay home.
All right. Perfect. You heard her, people. Stay home. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Not Christina, just you folks.